I am James Corbett of CorbettReport.com, and today it's January 9th, 2010. Joining me once again is Bob Chapman, the man behind The International Forecaster, a bi-weekly newsletter devoted to political, financial, economic, and social matters that can be found at TheInternationalForecaster.com. Bob, thank you for joining me once again today.
Thank you for having me, and it's my pleasure to be here.
All right. Well, there are a lot of things in the news today, and you just published your most recent copy of the newsletter today. So why don't we talk about what's hitting the news? What would you like to open up with today?
Well, I think that it's very important that we pay attention to something that came late on Thursday, and I have a small piece on it in today's International Forecaster. And the U.S. Treasury and Labor Departments are going to ask for public comment this coming week on ways to promote the conversion of 401k savings and IRA accounts into annuities or other steady payment streams. Now, what this means is that annuity is something that is guaranteed by government. The Social Security annuity is an example of that. Unfortunately, since the first payments came in June of 1934, that the money has gone into the general fund and then been thrown into government spending, if you may. Now, if they go ahead and try to do this, and they have to go into a form of liquidation in these accounts, mostly pension, profit sharing, and IRAs, ROTs, all of those kind of things, they would have to sell. And if they sell to raise hundreds of billions of dollars, then that would weigh upon the market. It's my guess that what they'll do, or what the proposal will be, is that we will take in the accounts and hold them separate for everybody, and at the same time use them as collateral against the issuance of Treasury paper, agency paper. Agency is Fannie, Freddie, Ginnie, and FHA, which now belong to the United States government and are funded indefinitely with very, very large amounts of money. And I think this is where this is headed. And I think it's something that is terrible. And, you know, I'm kind of at a loss for words. It can't get any worse than this. We just saw this happen in Argentina, incidentally. And, I've been saying for a long time that about 80% of the Treasury, agency, and now MBS, which is the collateralized debt obligations, are being absorbed by the Federal Reserve. And in turn, they're sitting there with this pile of junk, if you may, and that's guaranteed by the U.S. taxpayer, incidentally. In other words, what we have done via the Federal Reserve, which will eventually end up in the Treasury, is we have bailed out banking, Wall Street, the insurance companies, and a good part of the transnational conglomerates that make up the heart of the large corporations in America. And so the Fed has been buying 80% of the paper. I think I'm one of the few people who has stated this in the past in my publication. It's hard to get a handle on the numbers, but that's an approximation, and I think it's pretty close. So, desperate people do desperate things, and this is where the government's at. They can't get anybody to buy the paper, treasuries, etc. And, you know, I've suspicioned on these currency swaps, and I can't get any proof because the Fed won't tell you anything, which is why we have to get rid of the Fed. And what they did, they did a $500 billion swap. They received five foreign currencies, the five big ones. And what they do is they take those foreign currencies and sell them into the market, suppressing the prices of those currencies and making the dollar go up, or making it look like the dollar is not going to go down or is not going to go down. At the same time, by prior agreement, those nations that printed that money to give to the Fed in the first place, they receive dollars. And the deal is they'll take the dollars, which the Fed created out of nothing, and they will go in to the Treasury auctions. And that's why the Treasury auction participation's been so high, because they're pouring that, quote, make-believe money into the Treasuries. So I think 80% is a good number, and I think that's a position that they're in. And I'll tell you, if they try to do this, they may have a revolution on their hands.
So they really are just now at the point where they're just completely creating money out of nothing to fund the ever-growing debts that they just simply have no other way to finance. And apparently even they can only scrounge up $100 billion or so from China in the past year on a $1.5 trillion deficit. It's getting to the point of complete insanity.
It is. And that's why gold and silver is so important, because they're owning real money. It's the only place you can hide. Gold and silver, bullion, coins, and shares. I mean, I don't even want to be in a currency. I have as little currency as possible. I live in the third world, so it's not easy for me to be involved in the stock market, so I'm not. And there's other reasons why, as a writer, that I don't buy stocks. But I can assure you, every week or two or three, I buy coins.
Absolutely, it's the only place to be at these extremely troubled times. But you mentioned the Argentinian example. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
They very simply took over all the pensions and put them into the government and said, "You get credit for that, and you'll continue to get credit as we go along." But we needed the money that was in those pensions so we wouldn't go bankrupt again. And you got to remember, in the 99 and 2000, they did essentially go bankrupt, and they wrote off two-thirds of their debt. And I think Argentina's being, and I can't prove this, of course, you can't prove anything, you got to back into it, but we're pretty good at it. 98% of the time we're right. And they're using Argentina as an example of what they're going to do. And, you know, they had to find someone, and Argentina got in trouble, and there was the formula. They paid off 30 cents on the dollar on their debt. Now, I have projected over the next, probably by the end of the year or within the first 6 months of next year, there will be a big meeting, like Smithsonian. That was in the early 70s. The Plaza Accord of 85, the Louvre Accord of 87, and the nations will get together, and they'll revalue and devalue all the currencies against one another, and they will have debt default between nations. Two-thirds of the debt will be written off, just like Argentina did, and that's where the example comes from. And I think that the United States will devalue their currency, one new one for three old ones. What they'll do with internal debt, I don't know. I know what the logical thing to do is to write it down, but who knows with the insanity in New York City and in Washington what they'll do. But that's where this thing is headed. Another thing that's appendage to this is the FDIC. They have $93 billion. They just got $45 billion from banks who normally fund the FDIC. They paid 3 years ahead, 3 years prepaid their dues, so to speak. So that's how they got a good part of the money, or approximately half of it. They say, the FDIC says there's 258 banks in trouble. The real figure is 2,055. And if those 2,055 banks go under in the next year and a half, the cost will be somewhere between $800 billion and $1 trillion. And the FDIC can't handle that. And I suspect they're going to run out of money and the government's going to throw their hands in the air and say, no more insurance. And that's why I've been telling people, get out of your CDs, no more than 3 months operating money in the bank account, 6 months for businesses, get out of your cash value life insurance policies and annuities, because this market's going down, the bond market's going down, and the only thing that's going to hold its own or go up is gold and silver related assets.
So basically what we're facing here is not just the bankruptcy of the current system, we've known about that for many years, but the unveiling of the mask for the general public. It's going to be completely unsustainable now. The fraud is going to be unsustainable at any further. So we're looking at, you would say, in a year or 2 year and a half?
The timing's very hard, and people shouldn't hold me to it because I'm making bold assertions here that nobody else is. And I had a very good record, and there's a lot of jealousy out there. But it's coming. Sometime by the end of the year, 6 months into the following year, maybe another year, I don't know. But I know it's coming, and I know where this is headed. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with this issue of this public comment on these annuities. I mean, this is suicidal. And that shows you how desperate they are. And you know, it was discussed on CNBC, and CNBC pulled a segment out of their program for the day. You know how they replay it if you want to see what went on CNBC last Thursday? Well, they take things out because they don't want the public to see them. And they took this piece by Rick Santelli, who discussed it along with one of the girls there. I forget her name offhand. I've known her for years. But anyway, they cut it out. And he says, we'll see what they're going to do, but he mentioned it. And it's all over the floor. He is in the commodity markets. That's kind of his bailiwick, so to speak. And this is tremendous, tremendous what they're contemplating here. And so we're going to have to see what happens. But if they try to do this, there will be massive, massive marches on Washington. And they're liable to get very violent. You know, people have worked all their lives. And here, you know, they have $150,000 in their retirement or $8 million or whatever the figure is. And the government says, we're going to take it all, because we have to bail out the bankers and Wall Street, insurance companies, transnational conglomerates. I mean, they've destroyed the country as it is with free trade, globalization, offshoring, and outsourcing. In fact, the only way we can ever get our business back is to erect tariff barriers like we've had for centuries.
Exactly. Well, what we're talking about,
we are in duck soup, let me tell you.
What we're talking about is the complete and outright stealing of whatever's left of people's savings and income to fuel the machine for that's already going down. It's truly unthinkable. And of course, compounded on this, we have you opened up today's newsletter with some dismal, horrible bankruptcy statistics from 2009. Why don't you tell us a bit about that?
Well, I think overall you can just say it's dreadful and it's going to get worse. But the key to the whole thing, 2.5 years ago, is under classical economics, von Mises, von Hayek, and Rothbard, they should have purged the system. They had a great chance to do it in 1990 to 92. They didn't do it. And they should have done it 2.5 years ago. They didn't do it again. And now, this time, the ship's going down. They're hyperinflating. They're going to continue to hyperinflate until the thing collapses. That's why they're so desperately trying to get a hold of this money. And it's not going to answer the problem. I mean, the fiscal deficit on an annualized basis is $1.7 trillion. You got to be kidding me. And here we are fighting wars in other countries and contemplating new wars. Pakistan, Yemen, the entire Middle East, Iran. I mean, what's going to pay for that?
Well, evidently not foreign governments. And if the Fed can get away with it, maybe they'll just print it out of nothing. It's truly insane. So I guess people at this point haven't really been able to comprehend that this really does affect every single aspect of everything that we know of the world today, because obviously America is the driver, the economic engine, and has been for so long, and now we're looking at the complete upending of that system. So I guess all the cards are on the table and all bets are off. I'm just struggling to put into words sort of the situation, but what do you envision if things are continue on this path? What are they going to look like after the collapse?
That's hard to say, because it all depends on what the public does. If the public docilely says, well, gee, I guess that's the way it is, then you will have an economy where half the people are not functioning. They'll be starving. There'll be some demonstrations, but, you know, nothing to cause any major problems. And I imagine that that will be handled by Homeland Security and mercenary troops that our government hires. They may even use people from Interpol, which was just given carte blanche to do anything they want in the United States. And on the other hand, the people may react by demonstrating. It may end up like the food riots that happened during the 1930s, which were quelled by General MacArthur by shooting people in Washington. They called it the Veterans March, if I remember correctly. I think that the people are not docilely going to take this. I think there's going to be marches, demonstrations, and I think it'll lead to violence. And it's going to be widespread. And if the military steps in between, they better step in on the side of the public or they won't be existent. Because there's 80 million veterans in the country, 40 million are combat veterans. There's 450 million weapons in the United States. Do you really want to tangle with that just to protect a bunch of thieves from Wall Street and banking in Washington? I don't think so.
But of course, we've been seeing and watching this slow motion buildup of the police state in order to I guess, crack down on any such protest. And it's been going on for decades now through administration after administration. And we're seeing things with NORTHCOM basically starting to take over and really the military presence on the streets of America becoming more and more blatant by the day. So I guess if it comes down to some sort of confrontation with the military, what could that possibly achieve? What will be the end goal of that?
Well, it's not a goal. It's a reaction to the devastations taking place of the American people. And it's going to happen all over the world, incidentally. Because when we go, the whole world's going to go. And, you know, everybody's been listening to your programs and talk radio and looking at the Internet all over the world. We know that because we have thousands of subscribers all over the world. And so that's how we know. And they send us all kinds of information from their countries, what's going on there. And they're informing people in their countries who's responsible for all of this. So I think that the military will be given a choice. You either join one side or the other. And if they back the government, then there will be a civil war. If they don't back the government, then there'll be a revolution. Big difference.
That's,
at least in my mind.
Well, that's exactly right, yeah. Well, obviously, we want to inform people about who is really behind this and what the end goal is so that we can have some sort of informed resistance to this. But, of course, no one wants it to come to violence, but that's where the way in which it's being pushed, I guess, inevitably. So I guess taking a look at the political situation, of course, we have people like Gerald Celente and others predicting that there will be a rise of a third party alternative movement as early as the elections next year. And of course, shaping up into 2012. What do you think about political options for dealing with this mess?
Well, I think that we can use the system as long as two very important things happen. Number one, the American public gets rid of more than half of the incumbents in the House and the Senate in the next election. Unfortunately, 11 of them are now not even running again because they know they can't win. I mean, even Harry Reid has a 35% poll in his primary in Nevada, which means that he's not going back. And so people like him and people who know they're not going to go back or borderline, they're going to steal as much money as they can get their hands on. And stealing is in the form of campaign contributions and other things. And so Wall Street and banking and insurance and the same international conglomerates are paying people like Harry Reid and our president and Pelosi and the rest of them. They're paying them off with campaign contributions. And, of course, if they know they're going to lose, they'll use a small amount of the money that they have. They might have $100 million. And they'll spend $20 million and lose the election and keep $80. Sounds like good work if you can get it. So the point is that we've got to get these people out of office. If that happens, we also have to get rid of the Federal Reserve. And if we can do those two things, we can save the country. If we don't do those two things, it's over.
And if you were a betting man,
there's no other legal avenue for the public.
Right. And if you were a betting man, what would you say the odds are?
I would say, because of what I saw in the last election, I think there's 7-5 that it won't happen. I think we'll get the Fed investigated, and I think we'll get them thrown out. It'll take a couple of years. But with the election, I don't have much faith in half the American public because they're just so stupid. And every country has the same problem, incidentally. And they just don't get it. And they watch this gobbledygook that comes on television every night, and they think that's correct, and it's not. And so they're led astray by the propaganda of government, and they swallow it, and they come back to vote, and they do the same stupid thing over and over and over. So I really don't hold a lot of hope out. I wish they would wake up. That's why I'm doing 30 hours of programming a week plus publishing 2 letters a week. And I don't think there's anybody in radio or in journalism who works the way I do, I'll tell you that. And we can win. But the idea is we've got to get the word out to the people that they have got to get these people out of office because they're all crooks. They're all paid off with the exception of a very, very small minority. The Ron Pauls who are in there. People who are really concerned, who are not taking money from pharmaceutical companies or insurance companies or the medical companies. And I don't have to explain it. You know what's going on. And we got to get them out of there. And if we can get them out, we can win. If we can't get them out, you're going to be in the streets. You're going to be starving. Your kids are going to get shot. And that's just the way it's going to be. And if you don't like it, do something about it.
That's exactly right. We need to get the word out about this information, and that's why my hat's off to you for all the work that you are doing over at the International Forecaster. And of course, people will interject that, of course, we know that the elections are all rigged anyways, and the counting machines are all rigged for the establishment candidates, and we know that, but we also know that that type of fraud only works if the public is disengaged with the political process, that there isn't a mass awakening, there isn't mass movements and mass protests, which is why we have to get as many people engaged in this process as possible. And I still believe that there's a chance for huge sea change over the next few years, and as opposed to the phony variety that was given to us by the Obama campaign. So I certainly hope that what we're doing here is having some effect, and I do see signs of that every day, but is it enough? Is it enough? That's the question. Well, why don't we tell people a little bit more about the International Forecaster and how they can help support your work?
Well, the Forecaster is about business, finance, economic, social, and political issues all over the world. We publish on Wednesday and Saturday. by email. It's around 40 pages each time. And we have a hard copy for those who are not on the internet, and that goes out twice a month, and you can get a free introductory copy by going to our site. That is theinternationalforecaster.com. The International, forecaster.com. You can call 800-375-4188. That's toll free, 800-375-4188. Or you can also email us. We answer everybody's questions, incidentally. That address is bob@intforecaster.com, bob@intforecaster.com. And we answer everybody.
Excellent. Well, I'm afraid today we have a rather bleak and sobering message, but it's one that definitely people need to pay attention to. So I'll be looking for more information about this ridiculous situation in the next issue of the newsletter. Bob Chapman, I'm looking forward to our conversation next time. Thank you for joining me again today.
Thank you. Bye-bye, and thank you all for listening.